Chaos broke out in South Africa in July when former President Jacob Zuma was sent to prison for contempt of the country's highest court. He was sentenced to a 15-month jail term, but soon after his incarceration, groups claiming to be Zuma supporters pretty much literally set the country ablaze. Now, just 2 months later, Zuma's been released on medical parole, while employees and business owners of South Africa's affected businesses are still desperately trying to pick up the pieces.
You know, I'm 72 years old. I opened the shop when I was 42 years old. And there's no sun coming through the clouds. There's nothing.
Drika Smith is one such business owner. For 29 years, Smith has made wedding dreams come true. But last July, former president's so-called supporters stole the perfect wedding from many of her customers. Smith had to shut down her bridal store in Impangeni on the KwaZulu-Natal north coast after looters destroyed and stole most of her stock.
The day of the looting, I heard a story that there's something going to happen in town. I really didn't know what was going to happen, but I didn't expect them to rob the bridal shop because there was no food. And you know, this is crazy, but they actually went in to destroy things. They really didn't just take things, they destroyed things. It was terrible. All the things that we accumulate was quite expensive, but to replace them is more expensive. There was approximately 140 men's suits that was like booked out, and that there is no money really to supply the customers with the suits that was stolen that they selected on the day for the day of their wedding. So still, I'm coming to my busy month and I don't have that suits to supply them. There was about 85 dresses, new designs, new dresses that they took, little flower girls dresses, approximately 50, my little boys' pants, shirts, my bridesmaids, is this terrible, was 400 of them, all the color, all the fashions, evening gowns, jewelry, crowns, gloves, garters.
The 72-year-old woman is now trying to pick up the pieces, but it's not easy. Her small shop was not insured.
You know, you can't describe this. This is something you can't tell anybody else. It's just like feeling you are drained. You're empty. There's nothing left. You can't do anything. It is so unfair. Do you know that? It's unfair.
Still, despite these difficult conditions, Smith counts her blessings that her consumers have been understanding and that her small staff complement has been willing to work for a lot less than she believes their efforts are actually worth. Smith says that over 600 wedding garments were stolen or destroyed during the looting, and she also estimates that she'll need about 1 million rand to rebuild her business. There are so many small businesses like Smith's that weren't insured and that are now battling desperately to stay afloat. But even those lucky enough to have been insured have not come out of the looting unscathed.
I've been affected really badly by the looting and unrest. Not only did they take everything out of my shop and they destroyed everything, they also set it alight. So there's a lot of fire and structural damage to my shop. They literally took everything. They destroyed everything if they didn't take it.
When Alyssa Kutsia was given the chance to take ownership of a small printing business that she'd worked in for 12 years, in December of last year, she believed it was a dream come true, an investment in her children's future. But her dream turned into a complete nightmare in July when looters destroyed her business, located at the Montclair Mall, south of Durban, and robbed her of her livelihood. Now she waits and waits and waits for her insurance to pay out, or for the mall to deliver what the lease guaranteed, or for government to fulfill its promise to aid in the rebuild. While she settles in for the long wait, her and her staff are trying to survive without an income at all.
I haven't started rebuilding or reopened yet. I'm still waiting on insurance. I guess that they got a lot that they've got to deal with as well. So yeah. And the mall itself is also on a go slow. They also haven't really done much to help. In my lease, they are supposed to help with some of the things, but they are also taking their time. And apart from that, they've also charged me rental, which I think is extremely unfair considering I haven't been able to trade. I haven't received any assistance from the government. The estimated cost of the damage is about over $1 million from the stuff that was stolen, from the fact that they've burnt down my shop. So we haven't reopened, and I'm relying on my husband for his income, which is just covering the bare necessities. But it's been really difficult. We've also had to ask the school, because I've got two children, we've had to ask the school for a reduction in school fees, which is, it's quite a hard pill to swallow. I've never had to ask for any assistance or anything like that. We've also had to ask our landlord just to be a bit patient with us, because times are really tough. Apart from COVID affecting the businesses and things like that as well, I've hardly owned this business for a year, and this has happened. So it's been quite an emotional roller coaster for me, but yeah, just trying to survive. Most of my staff also have children and families and things, so it's not a nice feeling knowing that they're also going without, and today it's so difficult to get a job as it is. So yeah, I'm really hoping my insurance comes back to me very soon, because it's difficult.
But the tenacity of the South African spirit lives on. Last month, Rebuild Zululand, a community organization started by a group of residents to help the small affected businesses in their area, donated baking supplies and just 4 wedding dresses to Smith, just enough to help her keep her doors open a little longer. The organization's spokesperson, Diana Serfontein, explains that they were compelled to reach out to the businesses in their smaller community.
We knew that a lot of funds was going to go to the bigger metropolitan areas, leaving the smaller areas to fend for themselves. We knew that it was going to have a ripple effect in the end, and that we had to start focusing on the smaller businesses and trying to get them up and running again. Unemployment was going to be a huge problem. So if we could get these businesses to start running as soon as possible, we were able to assist our community as best as we could. We went to the businesses and said to them, listen, please fill in our application form and tell us what you need immediately to start operating again. Our one applicant, Tyron, he's got a shop in takeaway shop in Kwambenambi. He said, listen, if I have a chips fryer, I can open. I can start selling slop chips. And that's what we did. We were able to assist him with a fryer and with a gas bottle. And we were able to collect lots of takeaway packets from the community for him. And yeah, that was such a wonderful story to see how grateful he was just to be able to start with selling chips. The devastation is something that I am struggling to explain. You know, I know a lot of you have seen news clips and have looked online about on the photos, and a lot of stuff was going on social media. But to be physically in this, for me to stand on a chair looking over my wall and to see what's going on there is on a next level. To the next day, go to our shop, and to see that nothing is left, everything was taken. And if it wasn't taken, it was destroyed. You know, driving around in a town that is my home, to feel that, you know, hopelessness and death, that's what it felt like. It felt like death. And how were we ever going to stand up from this? And to see a community get together and stand together and start cleaning up and, you know, in all of this, you want to just sit on the floor and basically cry. And to see, you know, if I look today on where we've come from, it is just a wonderful feeling to be a part of this and to see that we will not be blown down. We will stand up.
More than 330 people died across the country during that week of violence. and those left behind in the wake are now hanging on desperately to their livelihoods. This is an ongoing story. The interviews for this piece were conducted by Suthintira Govinda and Nivashni Nair. For Times Live Podcasts, I've been Paige Muller.